Well, today's the last Sunday in September, and how many of you know what special holiday yesterday and today is? How many of you know? Marty does. That's why he picked some of the songs he picked. He knows what holiday it is. Yesterday and today is the Feast of Trumpets in the Jewish culture. The Feast of Trumpets. Here's an email that Babette sent me this week, even though Babs is up at the Woman's Retreat. She sent me this, and it's written by Max Licato, and it's entitled When Christ Comes. And I'll tell you, I haven't been able to ever read through this thing as many times as I practiced it without crying. But here's the way it goes. You're in your car driving home. Thoughts wander to the game you want to see or the meal you want to eat. When suddenly there's a sound unlike you've never heard, and it fills the air. The sound is high and above you. Is it a trumpet? Is it a choir? Is it a choir of trumpets? You don't know, but something in you wants to know. So you pull over, get out of your car, and you look up. As you do, you see you're not the only curious one. The roadside has become a parking lot. Car doors are open. People are standing and staring at the sky. Shoppers are racing out of the grocery store to do the same. The Little League game that's going on across the street has come to a halt. All the players, all the parents are searching the clouds. What do they see? What do you see? This has never been seen before. As the sky is a curtain, the drapes of the atmosphere part. Kind of cool the way the sun came out just when I read that part, didn't it? Nice timing, Lord. It's like the sky is a curtain and the drapes of the atmosphere part, and a brilliant light spills onto the earth. There are no shadows anywhere. None. From whence came the light begins to tumble a river of colorful, sparkling crystals of every hue. Millions and millions, more than have ever been seen before. And riding on that flow is an endless fleet of angels. They pass through the curtain, one myriad at a time, until they occupy every square inch of the sky, north, south, east, and west. Thousands and thousands of silvery wings rise and fall in perfect unison. And over the sound of the trumpets, you can hear the cherubim and the seraphim chanting, "Holy, holy, holy." The final flank of angels is followed by 24 silver-bearded elders, and a multitude of souls join the angels in worship. Presently, the movement stops. The trumpets are silent, leaving only one triumphant triplet, "Holy, holy, holy." Between each word of the phrase and with each word, there is a profound reverence. You hear your voice join in with the chorus. You don't know why you say the words. You just know that you must. Suddenly, the heavens are quiet. All is quiet. The angels turn. You turn. The entire world turns. And there he is, Jesus. Through the waves of light, you can see the silhouetted figure of the King, Jesus the Christ. He's atop a stallion, and the stallion is atop a billowing cloud. His mouth opens. Maybe if I look up, the tears will go down. His mouth opens, and you are surrounded by this declaration. "I am the Alpha and the Omega." The angels bow their heads. The elders remove their crowns. And before you is a figure that is so consuming, you know instantly, you know with all there is, that there is nothing else that matters. No more stock markets. No more school reports. No more sales meetings. No more Bears football games. Nothing is newsworthy. All that matters, all that will ever matter forevermore is Christ has come. Put this little note. "This morning when the Lord opened the window of heaven, he saw me and he said, 'Wilmer, my child, what's your greatest wish for today?' I responded, "Sir, Lord, please call the people who hear this message. Call their family. Call their special friends. They need your love so much. A love that's like an ocean. You can't see the beginning of it or the end of it." The message today is about the holiday Rosh Hashanah. It's also the Feast of Trumpets. It is the New Year's Day. Today, actually yesterday, was the first day of the year of our Lord, 5,767. Now, for all of you who keep track by a solar calendar and a Gentile calendar, that's really cool. My day timer comes based on a solar calendar, based on a Gentile calendar. But in God's economy, the calendar that matters is the Jewish calendar. It's always going to be the Jews first and the Gentiles second. It's the way God set it up. So this is the official year. We're going to look at Genesis 22 and Leviticus 23 and learn about this. Now, these are the feasts of Israel. Do you remember the spring feasts? We looked at those in the spring of the year when each one of them came along. Guess what? It's not spring anymore, is it? And there's a time between spring and fall. Correct? The fall feast, the autumn feast. What do we call that? Summer. You and I live in the period of time that is called summer. We live in the historical time that is called the age of grace and the age of the church. When it gets to December, and I deal with Daniel chapter 9 and explain to you everything that has happened and is going to happen, Gabriel came and explained it to Daniel. And the period of time that you and I live in is in there. It's the age of the church. It's the age of grace. And it's the time between the spring and autumn. So, the Feast of Trumpets is first. We'll talk about that today. Day of Atonement and the Feast of Booths. We'll talk about them over the next couple days. Now, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh in the Hebrew means chief or head. I think that's the first blank on your outline. Chief or head. Shana is a Hebrew word for that means year. When you put the two of them together, it becomes the head of the year on the civil calendar. Now make note of this. There's four New Years on the Jewish calendar. We Gentiles work way too hard. That was not God's design. It was never God's design for you to work. The seventh day was a day of rest. If Adam wouldn't have sinned, we would never have worked. Now you got to take a look at the Jewish calendar because the New Year of years is the event that we're celebrating yesterday and today. And what year is it? 5,764. Now, I don't know whether this is going to prove to be prophetically true or not, but I think if you add 233 years to that, you come up with the number 6,000. Does that make sense? I think when the sixth day is finished on this holiday, the event that I read to you is going to happen. Now, for those of us who live another 230 years, we'll be around to see if I had it right. For those of us who are dead, you'll still remember whether I had it right or not. There's also a New Year's Day of kings. There's also a New Year's Day of tithing animals. And there's also a New Year's Day of trees, which is the one that's really got me fascinated. It's the only one I don't understand yet. But they have four New Year's festivals. We work way too hard. We should party more. When you look at Daniel calculating all these, every seven years you're supposed to take a year off. A whole year. That's the way God designs it. Okay, here's the traditional Jewish beliefs. Rosh Hashanah is known as the birthday of the world. Traditional Jewish belief is Adam was created on this day. On the Sabbath, yesterday, was the day that when Jesus formed Adam in the dirt, breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living being, a living soul, a living spirit, a living body, that was a day. Any of you wonder what age he was when he was breathed into? You ever thought about that? How old was he? Was he a kid? Was he a teenager? Traditional Jewish belief is he's 30 years of age. When he was breathed into his nostrils, he was 30 years of age. Some of you who are males, you may have realized this in your life. I did. All of a sudden, when I turned 30, my dad seemed a whole lot smarter. Any of the rest of you ever get? You get to 30 as a male, and all of a sudden, things begin to balance out in that biological and psychological complex critter that you are. And all of a sudden, you begin to realize what it is to be a man. I believe that Adam was 30 years old when he was created. And according to Jewish tradition, that's the birthday of the world. Now, the bulk of the biblical evidence says Yeshua was born in the fall, not in winter. Bulk of biblical evidence. And they can figure that out based on a number of different things. One of the most mathematically correct is that they can do that based on John the Baptist's dad. Because they actually have written down the day that prophecy came to him when he couldn't speak anymore, when Zechariah did that. My microphone's doing weird things. And it just started that in the middle of this, didn't it? Just all of a sudden, they start talking about prophecy and weird things happen. So, here's the deal. Was the first Adam and the last Adam, first day, the same day of the year? Was the day that Adam was created and the day that Jesus took his first breath, were they the same day? Interesting, thought-provoking concept. My belief is, yes. Can I prove it? No. But I believe this to be true, that the first Adam and the last Adam's first day was on the same day. It was on this festival. It was on this fall festival day. Now, I can't prove that, but I believe it's true. In Genesis 22, Abraham looked around. He saw a ram caught in the bush by the horns. He went and got it, offered as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham named the place the Lord provides. And even today, people say, on the Lord's mountain, he provides. Do you know the context of this story? Abraham was challenged to take his blessed son Isaac, his only son by that wife, up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. I believe that that was on the hill that the Jews call Golgotha and the Roman Catholics call Calvary. It was on top of that hill that sacrifice was supposed to take place. They found a ram that was caught in the bush by his horns. So, here's the Jewish tradition. Abram took the ram's horns because it was caught in the bush by its horns, and he made them into horns, shofars. Have you ever wondered why Jewish people blow ram's horns? The shofars. That's why. When they blow the trumpet, the shofar, and God comes and delivers Israel hundreds and hundreds of times in the Old Testament, it's because the ram's horns were what caught the ram in the thicket. And you blow the shofar, you blow the ram's horn, and that's where you get delivered. The shofar is your blank on your outline. The shofar, or the ram's horns, is a reminder of God's deliverance of Isaac. Now, this event is critically important to you and I in this day and age because we happen to be in a war of terrorism against a religion that believes Ishmael was the one that was on the mountain, not Isaac. Ishmael is the founder of the religion that's fighting against our nation. When my wife called last night to let me tuck her in, she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching a movie." She says, "You are? What are you watching?" I said, "The Kingdom of Heaven." She says, "Oh, what is it?" I says, "It's the French Crusades in 1184 of Jerusalem." She says, "Oh, is it one of those ones where they butcher people and chop them all up?" I said, "Well, yeah. When the French captured Jerusalem, they killed everybody. Every Muslim that was there. They killed them all. Massacred them all. And that wasn't the first time that Christians have done that to Muslims. Do you ever wonder why we're in this war now? A lot of it's historical. Excuse me for just a minute. I'm going to turn that down just a little bit. I don't know whether that bothers you when it goes, but it does me a little bit. Okay. So, the shofar is the Lord's deliverance horn. In Leviticus 23, the Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, hold a worship festival. It will be a memorial day, and come together for worship, a holy assembly announced by the blowings of the ram's horn." So this event that we're celebrating this weekend started at the first of this month. And the Jewish month is not the same as ours. The purpose of this holy day, it can be summed up in one word, regathering. I think that's a blank on your outline. The first symbolism and the first importance of this holiday is regathering. The second one is Rosh Hashanah has become to represent days of repentance. That's your second blank. The two main words that you can remember about this two-day event is regathering and repentance. When they start blowing the shofar 30 days ago, 29 actually, this afternoon when they blow it for the last time, they'll blow it at sunrise, the end of the day, and at sunset, the beginning of the day. That'll be the end of the 30-day period of announcing this is coming. So, biblical holy days, there's always two things. One of them is prophetic and the other is historical. And Rosh Hashanah is not any different. So, it's both of these things. It's both prophetic, it's talking about things in the future, but it's also historical, talking about things in the past. And actually, most of the things that we have from the Bible are like that. I decided to put on this pair of pants. Historically, before my heart surgery, they used to fit me. Prophetically, they're going to a thrift store when I take them off this afternoon. 31-inch waists do not fit me after my heart surgery. I put on over 18 pounds and over 2 inches around my waist after heart surgery. Anybody that's ever had their heart cut out of them and put back in and they say they're the same afterwards, lying to you. You just are never the same. Anyway, so the prophetic is regathering and the historical is repentance. So we need to be involved in the repentance part of it. That's what we should be involved in our lives. If there's a key word that I could describe to you what Bishop said, it's repent. Get back to your first love. Get back to what the Bible says that we should be doing. And very simply, what that is a heart and a call for the lost and a discipleship of the found. Period. That's the call of our church for next year. To get back to where we care about the lost people, Bishop said this very poignantly. I believe this with all my heart. If you die and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Do you believe that? Everybody that you know, everybody that you come in contact with in your 6 degrees, everybody that you come in contact who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ is going to spend eternity in hell. And the last chance that they have is Rosh Hashanah. When the trumpet sounds, the time for that is over. Now, I may be completely wrong. It may not be the fall festival. Jesus said no one really knows. One of the neat things about studying this is the day of the unknown. Jewish tradition believes it's on this day, but Jesus says nobody really knows. I don't even know yet. My dad hasn't told me when he walked this earth. So he said, be ready. So we should be involved in that. So, Rosh Hashanah is the only one of the feasts that's celebrated on 2 days. It's the only Jewish festival that they celebrate on Sunday. What is Sunday? It's the Gentile Sabbath, isn't it? The genuine real Sabbath is Saturday. From Friday sunset till Saturday sunset, that's the Sabbath. That's the real Sabbath. We celebrate Jesus' resurrection, so we do it on Sunday, which is very biblical. Now, the reason that it's 2 days and God designed this way before Gentiles were considered a part of the kingdom is because one of those 2 days is involved with us, Gentiles. So, traditional Jewish observance. As a part of the traditional repentance, there was a special immersion. I pronounce it mikvah. I don't know exactly how it is. It's in the fall of the year, and it's an immersion bath. They have ceremonial, sacrificial sort of bathhouses. That the only thing they do in these is a bath that is a dedication. I was watching a 2020 or primetime the other day, and one of the Jewish ladies that came back from the conflict in Babylon today was trying to get peace from all of the chaos that she experienced in the 18 months she was over there. And she went to her rabbi, and her rabbi says, you need a mikvah. You need a 30 days of repentance and then conclude that with an immersion bath. So on television, you know, there's this lady who walks into this place and the girl holds her robe and you see her walk down the steps and all they show you is from her knees down. Then she gets into the water and she does this immersion thing 3 times and they just show you from her neck up. But it's a traditional unique Jewish immersion that takes place this time of the year. And you go and you dip yourself in the water 3 times. This is the start of a 40-day period of personal repentance and turning to God that ends in the event of Yom Kippur, which is 10 days from now. So, is there a relationship in his immersion by John in the 40-day period of fasting after by Yeshua? Jewish tradition says Jesus began his earthly ministry at 30 years of age. How many of you knew that? Jesus started his... Here's what Jewish tradition is to the completed Jews, the Jews that really know the Lord as Savior. They say he did that on his birthday. When it says that he started his ministry at 30 years, it was on his birthday. That's when he started it. And he started it in compliance with, to fulfill all of the requirements of Jewish law. So if you ever wonder, when did John the Baptist baptize him? It was this time of the year. That's what I believe. What better time could there have been for the Messiah to start his earthly ministry than this spiritual time of the new year? Historical evidence seems to indicate that the month of this, that's this month in Jewish, E-L-U-L. How you pronounce that in real Hebrew, I don't know. Served as a perfect time for the presentation of the greatest spiritual message ever come to Israel. Return to God, the Messiah has come. You'll probably hear me say that a lot within the next year. Return, repent to God, because Christ has come, and he's coming again. So, the whole month of Yule, the 30-day process, is a preparation through personal examination and repentance for the coming of the high, high holy days. The shofar is blown every morning at the service and starts with this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. This is also recited at the end of the morning and evening service. The message of Yule 1 to Rosh Hashanah is clear. Repent before Rosh Hashanah. Do not wait until Rosh Hashanah or you will find yourselves in the days of awe. Because see, if I'm right, if Jesus comes on this event, once they blow the trumpet, your chances are over. The days of awe are the days of judgment. And all of us will be judged. Nobody gets by. Every single one of us will walk into God's office, close the door, and have a personal chat with every thought, every intention, every word, every comment that came out of your mouth and out of your heart. Every single one. And only the people that know the Lord as their salvation are going to come out of that meeting with a smile on their face. The people who do not know the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior will not leave that personal confrontation with a holy God with a smile on their face. Their judgment will be vastly different. So you want to get this done. Here's what the completest Jewish believe in Isaiah. How many of you started reading Isaiah with me this morning? Did you read Isaiah chapter 2? When you read Isaiah chapter 2, do you know what they're talking about? They're talking about this holiday. I thought that was really cool. I was just reading those passages on the day I was supposed to read them on. But Isaiah 2 is all about this. Jeremiah, Zechariah, Thessalonians, they all talk about the awakening blast of the shofar. The books of Daniel 7, the girls that are going to start the Daniel study with Julie tomorrow night. Oh, man, is that good. Beth Moore is a lot better teacher than I am. She had such a cool illustration the other day. You know, I was telling you that God's first contact was with the Jews and then the Gentiles. She has this illustration. God is in his office. He picks up his phone and he calls the nation of Israel and he has this conversation with them for thousands of years. Right? Intimate, personal, direct communication with God. At a point in time when his son left the earth, he pushed the hold button and he started talking to us Gentiles. And for the period of the church, he's on the line with us, but when the trumpets sound, he's going back to the other line that's on hold. He never hung up on the Jews. He will never hang up on the Jews. He just got them on hold for a couple years while us Gentiles come in. But when that trumpet sounds, he's punching the button and he's going back to the Jews. Cool. I wish I could teach like she does. What's that translate to you and me? Someday the shofar will sound. Israel will be regathered. The first thing that happens is God brings the Jews back. Then what happens? Then the dead people who have received Christ as their Savior rise and meet him in the rapture of the church. Then what happens? Whoops, next button. Those who are alive will go meet him in the air. That's the rapture of the church. That will be the time when Christ returns. And if Jewish tradition and my study have it right, it'll be on this holiday. Jesus fulfilled all the other ones. Pentecost was the last one that they fulfilled. The sending of the Holy Spirit. The next one that he fulfills will be this one. And when he comes back the second guy, it's no more the really nice guy that he was when he was here before. He comes back to rule and reign with a very authoritative stature. And you want to be ready for that. So, what does this mean to us, to me? God has always warned his people of the coming judgment. He always warns you. He never surprises you. It's clearly written in his word. All you have to do is read it and study it. If you just read it like a magazine in the doctor's office, you probably won't get it. You've got to study it. But if you read and study it, it's all clear. God is calling you and I to repent, to a deeper personal relationship with himself. He's gathering his sheep. Question, are you listening, Lammy? Are you listening? He's calling you and I to a deeper life of personal repentance. What is Bishop and I calling you to? To a heart for the lost people and a call on your life to become disciple, to become a student of the Scriptures, to become knowledgeable in the discernment, to be a valiant warrior for the Lord. What does this mean? When the shofar, if the shofar sounded today, would you be ready to meet him? Some sunset on this holiday, if I'm correct, the sun's going to be going down in the west, and in the east, the sky is going to rip open. And Max Licato did a really nice job. When he comes back, every single solitary human and animal will know exactly what's going on. And some of us are going to say, oh, yeah. And some of your friends are going to say, oh, it's a word I used to use when I worked at the steel mill. But it's not a good word. Are you ready for that judgment day? Are you personally ready? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way? Do you know him? When I wrote that thing on the bottom of the email, do you have a chat with him? When he opens the window of heaven in the morning and he says, Wilmer, Does he do that with you when you get alone in your prayer time? Are you ready for that judgment day? Are the members of your family ready? Do you have family that aren't ready for that day? How about the friends and co-workers you have? Do you know any of them that are not ready? How many of you do? I do. And quite honestly, I thought I had a lot of time. He's not going to blow the trumpet right away. I can wait. I'm challenging you not to wait. Get your heart right and get to work. Here's a conclusion. How will you respond to God's love today? Lammy, are you listening? How will you respond? Will you choose to get to know Him better? Will you choose to trust Him? Will you choose to pray and allow Him to use you in the process of saving some of your family and friends? Tough questions. I can't answer them for you. But you need to. And the point of this holiday is you want to be ready before the trumpet sound. You want to be ready before that judgment takes place.